I'll do it later, I'll do it later. For some reason, I can't do it now. Why not do it now? Procrastination is a bad thing. It's like a disease many of us have, and it can really mess with the order of your life if you don't check it from the get-go. I'll do it later, I'll do it later. It's the mantra of our lives. Why not do it now? Get it out of the way and pave the way for other things that you need to do. I'll do it later, I'll do it later. And before you know it, it's tomorrow. And you can't do it today because you really are busy this time. Am I free tomorrow? Yeah, I might be. I'll do it then. Free day comes and I'll do it later, I'll do it later. I can't keep holding off things today which will still be around tomorrow. It's something we need to think about. It's something I need to think about. Maybe if I got my stuff together, I'd be miles away from here, and maybe I'd get these things out on time. Ah, that's life. This is the Random Rambles of Jay.
October 24th, 2006. You taking this yet?
Yeah.
That's $34.99, please.
Hold up. Now I know you ain't giving me a display copy.
Yes, is there a problem?
Bitch, I'm spending all this money on this damn game. You best bait like a banana and split to the stockroom and get me a new copy.
But there's...
Shut up. Go to the stockroom and get me a fresh copy.
Could you not speak to me in that tone?
Are you still here? I thought I done told you to get my game. Been waiting 6 months for this piece of shit, spending my hard-earned damn money on this damn game. I best get a fresh copy. I want one with shrink-wrapped plastic. I want to be able to smell the sweat of the little Malaysian kids that make the boxes in them damn sweatshop factories.
There you go.
Thanks. Oh, by the way, have you got any job vacancies at all?
You are now listening to the Random Rambles of Jay.
Hello, 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 hello. It's been a while. Sashi booty. It's been a while. I said in my last podcast, yep, I'm calling these podcasts now. I think I've kind of earned the right. But I said in my last podcast that I was going to put the fourth one out in the middle of October. It's kind of the tail end of October, but still it's October. And here it is, long overdue. This random ramble, oh god, this podcast has been giving me hassle, because for the past few weeks I've just been, it's been a mix of a lack of time for me to actually do these, and also just being blocked. I couldn't think of what to talk about. I was like, oh my god, I really want to put this out, but I can't think of anything that to talk about or to pad it out. So that was definitely an issue and a problem for me, and it was horrible because it was meaning that all the time I was blocked, I couldn't jump on the mic. There were several times where I actually did hop on the mic and I'd just be sitting there like, so my block lifted somewhat, and here we are with number four. Hopefully number five will come to you sooner, because I know what I'm going to be talking about in number five. So hopefully that will come to you sooner, sometime in mid-November. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about what has Jay been up to since the last podcast. Well, I'm hoping you've listened to number three, one, two, and three. And if you did, you know that I mentioned that I was going to be going back to university. I'm back at uni, and that's definitely another reason why I haven't had much time, why this one comes so late, because I haven't had time. My university timetable this year is awful. It's horrible. I hate it. It's the worst timetable I've ever had, because all of my lessons are bang in the middle of the day. So it's like, I can't really do much in the mornings. I can't really do anything in the evenings. So, that's that. And also, I've been keeping something from you. I haven't even posted this on my blog, so this is exclusive. A couple of weeks ago, I bought Kingdom Hearts 2. Yes, I did. Actually, a couple of weeks ago won't mean crap, because if you listen to this in December, then that would mean a couple of weeks ago would be November, wouldn't it? Let me try and find the receipt. Hold on one sec. Okay, I bought Kingdom Hearts 2 on the 7th of October. So yeah, that's a couple of weeks ago. And I know if you listen to my third podcast, you'll be thinking, but you was hating on Kingdom Hearts. You said don't buy it. And also you dissed the first one in your first podcast. I know, I kind of went back on my word. But what happened was my friend bought Kingdom Hearts 2. He was talking to me online and he was like, hi, I bought Kingdom Hearts 2. And he kept up, and knowing that he had it, I kept grilling him for questions. I was like, sell this game to me. Because I just wanted something to play. And I thought, I might as well have a game, play it, and get it out of my system so I can focus on my uni work. And the more he was telling me about the game, the more I felt like buying it. But I said to myself, I'm not going to spend 30 odd pounds on this game. I will wait till it goes down. And I was rummaging through my bag, and I found some vouchers that I'd been given, that had been given to me as a gift from work. And I had, how much worth of vouchers did I have? I had £16 worth of vouchers, which meant that, I mean, that was money that was given to me. It's not like it was mine. So the game only cost me £18.99. And I thought to myself, well, I was only going to buy it for £20 anyway. When it went on platinum, I'd only have to pay £20 for it now. I might as well buy it. So during my lunch break, I hustled my way to Virgin and I bought it. And then I got home and I played it. And it was a game that it took me longer to complete than it should have. Because there wasn't really the only period where I sat and I played it extensively was at the last boss. And that's because the last boss is really long, because you've got to fight so many different bosses and different enemies. But other than that, I play it for 10 minutes and I pause it or I switch it off. The game to me wasn't that addictive. But I'll stop talking about Kingdom Hearts 2 extensively, because I've done like a review, or not so much. I mean, it's pointless calling it a review because people in the US have had it almost a year. Yeah, it sucks living in the UK, people. And then everyone in the UK who's a fan of Kingdom Hearts, they probably bought it day of release anyway. So it's kind of just my take on what I feel about the game and kind of the way it plays. So that'll be coming up later. And what else have I been up to? Oh, I went to a games fair. It was in Regent Street, which is in central London. But I went to a games fair, and that was really cool. I went to that almost a month ago. God, time's going so quick. Seems like only a couple of weeks ago. But I went to that, and a couple of my classmates were all going to it, so I said, yeah, I'll tag along. And that was pretty cool. Basically, what it was kind of a fair where there were lots of different games developers. Lionhead Studios were there, Rare was there, Sega were there, and there were some other studios I hadn't really heard of before as well. EA Sports were there as well. Blizzard Games were there. They're the only developers there that I'd heard of beforehand that I can mention to you. There were loads of others, but I hadn't heard of them. And that was really cool, because it gives you a chance to kind of network. And it's definitely something worth going to, especially once you graduate with a degree and you want to go into games, because you can actually go there and these companies give you their business cards. And if you've got a CV or a portfolio, you can actually give it to them. So that's really cool. And it was nice, because I got to go around. I would like to get into the video games industry one day. So it was kind of cool to kind of ask questions. What would it take? What do you look for? How long have you been at your company? And so that was cool. I didn't really get a chance to talk to as many people as I would have liked, because my friend and I got lost. We ended up hopping on the wrong bus and ending up all the way at the other end of town. And it was quite hot as well. So and I had a jacket on. I thought it would be cold outside. And by the time I got there, it was hot. So by the time I got there, it was quite late. My classmates who were supposed to meet there, they'd been waiting for us for hours, so they'd already gone. And I was kind of like, I'm just hungry and tired. So I didn't really get to exploit the fair and do as much as I wanted to, but it was still interesting. And yeah, so that was cool. I'd been to a games fair like that. Well, it wasn't really a games fair, but I'd been to a fair like that before. And the first one I went to was in Brighton, which isn't in London. And it's the first time I've been to Brighton, so that was really cool. It was kind of by the seaside. a real beach town, and that was more. There were video games company. There was a couple of no, there weren't any video games companies there actually. It was more based around 3D interactivity. So there were mobile phone companies there, music audio companies there, and I think the only games related thing that was there was the PS3 controller. Which I kind of didn't really notice it, because obviously it looks like the DualShock 2, which I've dubbed the Dual No Shock because it hasn't got rumble features. I kind of said to my classmates, "Oh, look, that's a PS3 controller." They're like, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "Yeah," and it's hooked up by USB, and it feels so light. It feels lighter than the PS1 controller. Like, it weighs nothing, and I don't like that. I like my controllers to feel like they're quite robust, and this just feels so light and empty. I walked over to it, and I kind of, before I'd even reached out to touch it, the guy was like, "You right there?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine." That was kind of like, he kind of just approached me like I was going to rip the USB cord out and run off with the controller. It's like, being tall, black, and having worn a hooded jacket with combat probably wasn't the best idea. He probably thought I was going to nick it, when actually I wasn't. I just wanted to feel the controller and see what it felt like. But it was cool hearing what people have to say and kind of what you need to have to get into the industry. And way before that, I actually went to EA. I'm not a big EA fan, but I think if a company's holding an open day and it's a chance for you to kind of ask questions and get your foot in the door of the industry, you should take it. So me and my classmates, again, we went up to EA, which I think is in Guildford, which is again outside of London in the middle of nowhere. And that was really cool because there was all these different seminars, and they were showing us a couple of games that they were working on, and we got to actually walk around the studio where I think they were when I went there, they was working on Harry Potter Order of the Phoenix, the game. And it's really cool to kind of walk around. They had that PS2 dev kits there, and I think they had a couple of GameCube dev kits there as well. And it was really cool to kind of be in a game studio, and everyone was actually just sitting either working on the game or just chilling. And I was walking around, and these two guys were playing Capcom versus SNK2 on the PS2. And I was kind of like, "Oh, is that Capcom versus SNK2? They was like, "Yeah, mate, do you want to play?" I was like, "Yeah, why not?" And I beat them. I kicked their ass. I think I was Ryu. And I beat him twice, and they was like, "Oh, one of the guys like, I want a rematch." I was like, "Nah, sorry." And that was really cool. So yeah, I kicked the asses of two guys at EA on a Street Fighter related game, which is cool. But the EA visit was really cool because it's the first time I'd ever been to a games development studio. It was really big glass building and really high tech and just really laid back. Really, really, really laid back. A lot of the people weren't stressing about anything, and their desk, it was cool walking around and look at their desks because a lot of people weren't actually there. They must have been, I think most of them were chilling down at the bar. And you look at their desks, and they've got like on their desk on consoles and controllers and like pictures of their family and sketches and concept art and little Rolodexes of phone numbers and stuff. It's really cool, and it definitely made me think, yeah, that's definitely something I could do. So yeah, that's me and my educational video game visits. God, I rambled off on that, but I hope you found that interesting. You probably didn't, which is the beauty of MP3. You can forward very quickly. And I have, as I said before, we'll jump right into my Kingdom Hearts 2 review coming up after these messages and this commercial break. So don't you go anywhere. You are listening to the Random Rambles of Jay. More after this.
From the number one US rapper Black Mac comes the debut album From Rags to Bitches,
make her eye go black,
featuring the number one Billboard smash Smack That Bitch, also featuring his forthcoming smash In the Kitchen.
Get back in the kitchen, make it deep, I'm not still that water chicken. Get back in the kitchen, make it deep, I'm not still that water chicken.
Black Mac from Rags to Bitches, in stores now.
Gotta love Black Mac. Gotta love Black Mac. Check that out. Yeah, gotta check that album out. Smack That Bitch sounds like it'd be a club anthem, and In the Kitchen does too. Yeah, so listen to that on the listen out for that on the radios, people. Black Mac, hot album, hot album. But yeah, coming up now is my review or overview of Kingdom Hearts 2, and the reason I didn't put it up on my blog, like I bought Kingdom Hearts 2, and I didn't mention it even to my friend, is because I wanted something to talk about in this random ramble, because I really was completely blocked, and I thought I won't blog on it because I know my blogger dog Jun Lee, aka John, aka Red Alert, that's how I sound apparently to John, so Red Alert. I've had a feeling he was going to bombard me with questions, and he'd be like, so what do you think of it? Oh, I think it's this. And then before I know it, I've told him everything I feel about the game, which would make this redundant, and I'd have nothing to talk about. So that's why, not that it was a secret, but I thought I'm just going to zip it, because Kingdom Hearts 2 would give me something to talk about in my full podcast. So that's why. So there you go. But this is my overview or review of Kingdom Hearts 2. So here we go. My review of Kingdom Hearts 2. I bet some of you that have been listening to Random Rambles number 1, 2 and 3 weren't expecting this. But here you go. Where should I start? First off, I say to all my people, all the people out there that have played Kingdom Hearts 1 and they're still deliberating over buying this game, many reviews and articles out there state that you have to have played the GBA game Chain of Memories. Now I can tell you, no you don't. You don't need to play that game. Trust me. Do what I did. Go on YouTube, watch the ending. Go on kh2.co.uk, read an overview of the story, and you're ready to go. Okay? Don't listen to these people that tell you you have to play the game. Listen to me. I'm the truth. Jay say, you don't have to play it. You don't have to play it. Right. So, Kingdom Hearts 2 takes off directly from Chain of Memories. So, I'm not going to explain the events of what happened in Chain of Memories, because you could very easily, like I said, read up on it, YouTube the ending. But first off, many of you may already know, you don't start the game as Sora. You start off as this boy named Roxas in a town called Twilight Town. And the beginning of the game is segmented into days. You wake up, you get a little nice splash screen, day number one. You wake up, you have objectives and things you need to do. And then at the end of each day, something freaky happens, and Roxas begins to question, and kind of everyone thinks he's beginning to lose it. And then he'll go to sleep, he'll have this weird dream, then he'll wake up, and then it's the next day, and that's how it goes on for 6 days. And there's this kind of, also at the end of each day you get this little computer voice that goes, restoration at 70% complete. And those of you, As I said, if you've seen the ending to Chain of Memories, then you'll know what this is referring to. So there's this build up, and you eventually see Sora, and then that's when you actually get the title screen. It's like Kingdom Hearts 2, and then the game truly begins. And then it's back to what we know and love, which is running around with Donald and Goofy, going from world to world in your gummy ship and killing Heartless. And it's not just Heartless that you're fighting this time round, but beings called Nobodies. And Nobodies are, oh my god, let me try to remember what a Nobody is. When somebody becomes a Heartless, their Nobody is born. A nobody is a person without a heart. And so there's kind of this, you've got your Heartless and you've got your Nobodies, and you fight crap loads of them throughout the game. You've also got these dudes called Organization 13. As I said, if you play Chain of Memories or even just read about the story and seen the ending, you'll know who these guys are, and they pretty much run things this time around. And that's that. First off, I'll start by saying that the intro to the game, the beginning of the game where you start off as Roxas, was something that a lot of people criticised. They said it was slow and it was boring. I personally really liked it. I thought that the beginning of the game was actually one of the strongest parts of the game, because it's the one part of the game where I think it's the setup, it's the part of the game that throws a lot of questions in the air, even though you kind of put two and two together from the word go anyway. It's kind of like, oh, I know what's going on here. But still, it's cool because it's different. And it's a really cool build up to seeing Sora again, because I think you hit a point, because when you're controlling Roxas, he also gets a Keyblade. And you're kind of like, oh, I haven't got no magic, and I haven't got Donald, and I haven't got Goofy, and you kind of, you're itching to play a Sora again. And it's a really cool build up, and it works, because throughout the 6 days of playing as Roxas, I was like, oh, Roxas is cool, but I just want to play as Sora. But it works really well, because you do actually grow quite attached to Roxas as a character, which means that I guess Square Enix did something right there. You do care about Roxas, and it kind of does break your heart a little when certain revelations come to light, especially when he meets up with a girl called Naminé. If you're wondering who she is, she's also introduced in Chain of Memories, and she's in the intro to the game. She's the girl with the white dress and the blonde hair. But yeah. So, is the game any good? Yes. In a nutshell, it's a good game. But I am having a feeling of regret about buying it now. I think because it's kind of, I'm very much sat on the fence as to whether it is a much better game than Kingdom Hearts 1. It's kind of more of the same. And even though there are parts of the game which are a lot more refined and a lot more polished, I think there's huge clumps of fat attached to the game that I think Square Enix should have trimmed. And I think a mantra that Square Enix really should have went with this game is less is more. There's a lot of things, a lot of aspects, a lot of characters, and a lot of worlds that I feel should have just been taken straight out of the game. I think what Square Enix kind of did is they kind of thought to themselves, throwing lots of extra worlds, throwing lots of extra Disney characters, and lots of extra Final Fantasy characters, it's bound to be a great game, right? Wrong. Putting more stuff in a game doesn't always make it better, and I think in Kingdom Hearts 2 it does the opposite. It makes the game worse, because it's kind of like they've taken 3 steps forward but they've taken 2 steps back, because they've tightened up the game to a certain extent, but then they've got all these worlds that are just crap and shouldn't be in the game, and they've got all these Final Fantasy characters which don't add anything to the game, and it ruins it. It ruins it, because they've taken a game that could have been quite tight and just made it into this loose thing. And so it isn't that much better than Kingdom Hearts 1, and that's my view, that's my opinion. It's not gospel, but that's how I feel. Let's talk about some of the new aspects of Kingdom Hearts 2. Many of them are related to the battles. You now have a reaction command, which is your triangle button, and this is a case sensitive button, I think that's what it's called. So depending on what you're standing near or what you're actually doing, this button will change. So if you're standing next to someone, it will turn into a talk button. If you're standing near a treasure chest, it will turn into an open the chest button. And also in battles with enemies, when certain enemies do certain things, you'll get a triangle come up, and it's really cool, because say you can counter attack an enemy, or you can throw an attack back, or you can retaliate with an attack. Usually the triangle command comes up when an enemy is about to do a move on you, and you can turn the tables around on them, so it's kind of like a counter attack button. And also when you're fighting with bosses, with almost every single boss in the game, you'll get a reaction command, and there are many bosses in the game that you can't beat without using triangle. And you'll kind of, when you press it at the right time, you get this cool kind of set piece where Sora might, if it's like a Behemoth or a dragon kind of style boss, will run up the back and slash him in the face with a Keyblade or do something really cool. And so that's one new aspect of the game, and it does make battles, it makes the game a lot more easier than it is, but it is a really cool addition to the game. You kind of wonder how you went through Kingdom Hearts 1 without it. Another addition is the drive system, which is where Sora goes all Dragon Ball Z on us, and he can fuse with Donald and Goofy. When you fuse with Goofy, your offense goes right through the roof, and you can chain together insane attacks and an insane number of combos and do high damage. And when you fuse with Donald, your magic amplifies. So when you cast a magic spell, its spread area is huge. You can also cast spells instantaneously, like magic with no wait time. And then also you can fuse with the two of them, and then you've got this disgusting mix of offense and defense and magic amplification. And then you get this other form where you've got two keyblades and you can kind of go all nuts. I didn't get that form. I don't think I did. But that's called the final form anyway. The goofy form is called the Valor form. The fusion with Goofy is called the Valor form. And the fusion with Donald is called the Wisdom form. The fusion with both of them is called the Master form. And then the really cool one where you get two keyblades is called Final form. And even though the drive system is pretty cool, you can actually go through the game without ever using it. And I think I used it quite a bit just because it does make battles easier. But the drive system is this mad mix of something that works really well and something that could have been left out. I think because early on in the game, I forgot to mention, you get a drive gauge, and you can only drive when this gauge has hit a certain point. The drive gauge takes so long to stock up at the beginning of the game, so because of that you can't drive too often. And it also, when you do drive, it runs out very quickly. But then when you get to the end of the game, you get weapons which will fill your drive gauge up very quickly, and also your drive gauge shrinks in size, which means you can fill it up faster but it goes down slower. But then the problem with that is that you're so powerful by the end of the game, you don't need to drive. And there are many situations that you end up in towards the end of the game where you don't have Donald or Goofy fighting alongside you, so you can't drive anyway. So it's this, as I said, it's this mad mix of them implementing a new idea but not implementing it brilliantly. The drive system is cool. I would like to see it return, but I think they need to refine it so that it is more of a necessity rather than just something that's there. And then also you've got your Final Fantasy and Disney characters. Square Enix are just throwing in any old Final Fantasy character, and it's silly. There are certain characters I'm like, why are they in the game? The most obvious one is Yuripa, YRP, Unit, Riku and Pain from Final Fantasy X-2. Why these girls are in Kingdom Hearts 2, I have no clue. They're like little, they're kind of chibi-fied. They're really cute looking, and their outfits have just been toned right down. I mean, if any of you have played Final Fantasy X-2, you will have seen how risque some of the outfits were, particularly Riku's outfit. She's got this kind of little mini skirt on, and you can kind of see like the thong and the knickers up in the back. She's got this little bra top and this scarf. So obviously, because the game is aimed at a younger audience and because it's got lots of Disney characters, they tone these characters' outfits right down. I'm begging you, if you haven't played Final Fantasy X-2 and you haven't seen these girls' outfits in the game, please Google, go on images, look at the outfits, and then look at the Kingdom Hearts 2 outfits toned right down. But they're in the game, and it's like, you wonder why they're in the game. They don't really do anything. They crop up, I think, twice in the game and once in the ending, and that's it. And I kind of think, well, you shouldn't have really put them in the game. It's just, they don't add anything to it. And that's definitely something that happens a lot with Kingdom Hearts 2. It's like, they throw lots of stuff in that doesn't add anything to the game. So why put it in? Even Cloud, they could have done away with Cloud. He just walks around looking depressed like he always does. In Final Fantasy VII, the whole depression thing worked cool. But then they're just milking Final Fantasy VII to death. So the whole depression thing is like, oh good, just get a room with Tifa and just screw the hell out of her. Or something, bring Aeris back to life, have sex with her corpse, I don't know, whatever makes you smile. It's just the depression thing's getting on my nerves, and he's moping around Hollow Bastion like, I don't care what y'all do, die, I don't care what you do, I'm full of darkness, I don't smile, my heart is black, my soul is black, I can't do nothing, I can't feel love. And it's just so, it's like, get out of the game, I love Cloud, but there was no reason to put him in the game. It's the same as Sephiroth. Why did they keep it? I mean, as an optional boss, it would have been cool, but they try and work him into the storyline and as a little story to Cloud's dilemma, and it's just silly. It's silly. Not only is it silly, and not only do they not need to be in the game, but it contradicts absolutely everything that happened in Final Fantasy VII. It's like I went through that game in vain. What, I killed Sephiroth just for him to come back? It's terrible. I love Cloud, but there's no reason for him to be in the game. I love Tifa, but there was no reason for her to be in the game. It's kind of, they're just really milking the Final Fantasy VII characters now. I think they're trying to ride on the success of Advent Children, and it's not working, because Advent Children was shit anyway. But that's another thing. It's kind of Kingdom Hearts 2, they just throw all these characters into the game like it's going to make it better, and it doesn't. It just makes it worse. So there you go. But that's that. They're the new aspects. You've got some new worlds in there. You've got Mulan's world, which is crap. I never even watched the film, but Mulan is just such a boring character anyway. She's got no charisma. And even Mushu is kind of like some comic relief, but he isn't voiced by Eddie Murphy in this game. He's voiced by some black dude who they probably found on the street working some 7-Eleven or something. But Mulan's world is just not fun, because Mulan, the character herself, is so boring. It's like, and even when there's a point in the world where she ends up in your party and she goes by the name Ping, which I don't know, some of you Chinese people out there might find that offensive. I thought it was pretty wrong. I laugh, but I thought that's pretty wrong. Ping. It's like they're taking the piss, but anyway. And it's like, I'm busting my hump. Me and, who was it I left in my party? Donald. No, me and Goofy. Me and Goofy was busting our hump trying to kill some of these enemies. And Ping's just standing there. And it's like, you can't switch her out of the party. And that happens a lot in Kingdom Hearts 2. Kingdom Hearts 1, if you had a Disney character exclusive to the world you were in, put into your party, you could always switch them out. And I always did. I mean, what's the point in leveling up this Disney character if you can't take them elsewhere with you? But in Kingdom Hearts 2, they insist on having these characters in your party, and you can't switch them out. And you've got Ping for a long time, and she don't do shit. And there's one boss battle where you're fighting. In this boss battle, Ping was stood in the corner doing nothing. Me and Goofy were going mad with the attacks. And then you get a cutscene after. Ping, you were great. What Ping were you? Was there some other Ping in the room that was fighting? Because if so, I must have missed her. Because last I checked, she was standing in the corner doing nothing. But there you go. But anyway, I meandered off that point. But anyway, you've got Mulan's world, which is crap. You've got Disney Castle, which could have been cool, but you've only got like 4 rooms in the whole damn castle. But in saying that, that's how you access Steamboat Willie, so Disney Castle's alright. And, oh god, what's another world that you get? Tron. Which is... Tron, the character himself, is really cool. I really liked him. But the world itself is pretty much is small, and if you've seen the film, you know it's just black and blue wireframes, so there's not much with it. But I mean, it's a cool world. The way that you access the Tron world is pretty cool. It kind of, because I thought that you'd have to fly to it in the gummy ship, but you don't. You kind of just, I'm not going to tell you how you access that world, but it does. You're like, oh, this is the Tron part. It's a cool little surprise. So there's that world. And then, oh god, what's another additional world that you get? Twilight Town, which you start off in and is alright, I guess. And then you've got the final world, which is the world that never was. More on that later. And then you've got, what else? What else is there? Oh god, I know there's probably another world I completely forgot. It can't be that good if I can't remember it. But there you go. And oh my god, Atlantica, right. There was a lot of criticism towards Kingdom Hearts. There's a lot of criticism towards Kingdom Hearts 1 for Atlantica, because the controls are really funny. Because you're in water and you can go up, down, anywhere. And I hated that world anyway. That makes a return in this, but it's more of a mini game, kind of mini game full of songs. And you've got to push the button at the right time and get a higher score when you pass. The music in this world is awful. Awful. Part of your world, I think it's part of your world, That's really cool. The girl that sings and does Ariel's voice, she's got a nice voice. She can sing, but the first song is terrible. I mean, I was holding my heart. When I heard it, I was holding my heart, and I was kind of just sitting on my bed as I was playing it, thinking, oh my God, this song is terrible. This song is terrible. This song is terrible. It's awful. With something like, come on, Nana, come on, Nana, come on, Nana, shake a fin. It's, the music's like this.
Let the music move you. You can do it.
Terrible. Terrible. Did you know, almost, doesn't it just sound like a dog whistle? Or just a cat scratching its nails on a chalkboard? It's awful. Awful. And the thing is, I messed up. I had to listen to that song twice because I didn't pass that song the first time. And I was like, I can't describe the feeling I had when I listened to that song, but it's really cringeworthy. It's like, with all that money between Disney and Square Enix, I mean, they had the money to get Hikaru Utada to do a theme. They could have come with a better song than that. The songs in the world aren't brilliant, but the other songs are bearable. This first song is awful. But, that's that. So, the worlds, again, I think they picked the wrong worlds. I think, oh, Pirates of the Caribbean, that's the new world. That's a shit world as well. I didn't like the film at all. I think Pirates of the Caribbean's crap. The only thing I like about it is Johnny Depp's character, who plays Jack Sparrow, because his character's really cool. But other than that, that world shit is like, everything's the same. Everything's dark and blue and grainy. And it's weird because you've got realistic looking characters with the likes of Sora, Donald and Goofy. So it kind of off, it's like this, I can't really explain it, but every other Disney world you go to, you feel like you're immersed completely in it. You feel like you're part of that cast. The Pirates of the Caribbean world feels very juxtaposed. It's like, you don't really feel like you're in the Pirates of the Caribbean world because it just looks like any other pirate film. Everything is just blue and dark and depressing. And last, when I watched the film, it wasn't like that. There were many scenes in that film that were set in broad daylight. Yet everything is just grey and murky in this game. And another thing is that Orlando Bloom, Johnny Depp and Keira Knightley do not voice their respective characters. I guess they was busy doing fuck all to voice their characters. Last I checked, they weren't working on any movies, so I don't know what they were busy doing. But it's not too important anyway, because the guy that does Jack Sparrow's voice sounds like Johnny Depp, and Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, they're just two upper class posh twits. That's who they play in the film, so you could get anyone to do those voices, I guess, really. So, but yeah, that world's crap. I don't want to see that return in Kingdom Hearts 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's a lot, this is Kingdom Hearts 2 all over. There's just a lot of stuff in the game that just doesn't need to be in it, and it spoils it and it just bogs it down. I'm not really going to go on about the graphics and the sound, because as I said in my first podcast, if you never listened to it, I will remind you. A lot of people who read reviews on Square Enix games, chances are they've played one before. And I mean, Square Enix, sometimes their games may not always be brilliant, but the one thing you can always rely on in their games is that it is going to have top presentation and a brilliant soundtrack. You know, it's a given with a Square Enix game, you're going to get good graphics and a solid soundtrack. So, the graphics are brilliant, as is always the case with Square Enix games. The frame rate is constant. The frame rate does not drop once. And there are many moments in the game where you've got magic effects going off left, right and centre and swarms of enemies, and the frame rate doesn't drop once. So I've definitely got to take my hat off to the programming guys and the modelers, because they did their thing. And sound is brilliant as well. The music composed by Yoko Shimomura, great. I'm a fan now, because she did all the music in Kingdom Hearts 1 and the music in that game was cool. But the music seems to resonate stronger in Kingdom Hearts 2. I'm not sure what it is, but the music definitely comes to the forefront a lot more in Kingdom Hearts 2 than it did in the first game. Some really cool, memorable pieces of music in there. She's a brilliant composer. I hope Square Enix definitely give her more gigs in the future, or even if Nintendo snap her up, because I know she did the soundtrack to Mario and Luigi, and both Mario and Luigi games she did the soundtracks to. So she's a brilliant composer anyway, and I think the music definitely gets a thumbs up from me. Brilliant soundtrack. The voice acting, top notch, brilliant. I haven't had a game which has had such brilliant voice acting since Metal Gear Solid. Metal Gear Solid definitely set the benchmark, and Kingdom Hearts 2 is just the voice acting is awesome. Haley Joel Osment does a brilliant job in this game. Many of you will notice straight away his voice is broken. His voice is almost as deep as mine. It is, it's probably deeper actually. So his voice is broken, but he plays Sora really well. I think that because he's older and he's already done it before, you can tell he's a lot more comfortable with the role, and he just relishes it. He's really cool. I definitely got to give a big thumbs up to Haley Joel Osment, who's probably sitting in a jail cell in LA County Jail. So I don't know if they let you listen to podcasts in jail, but Haley Joel Osment, you did good. But the voice acting all around is brilliant, except for Aeris. Oh dear God, this girl, awful. And let me check who did the voice. I saw apparently that it was Mina Savari, who is actually an actress. She's the ugly one. I shouldn't have said that. That was out of order. She's the not so sexy one in American Pie. Out of all the girls, she's like the only one who you probably had no attraction to. And also, she's that girl in American Beauty she's the one who's lying in rose petals. That's Mina Savari. If you watch 6 Feet Under, I know she's in a couple of series of that. Apparently, she does the voice for Aeris. She sounds horrible. She sounds like she just got off of a chemotherapy session. And that's not a diss to anyone out there who has cancer or has been on chemotherapy. I'm just trying to get the point across that Aeris sounds weak and drained and... maybe... You know what? I'm just going to play a sample of her talking. Check this.
It doesn't matter. This is great. Everyone's together again. You're right.
Isn't that just awful? Doesn't it make you want to cry on the inside? But her voice is awful. They should have had her not talk and just had her stick with speech bubbles and text. The bitch ruins the whole ensemble cast. But all around, the voice acting is brilliant. Got Christopher Lee in there voicing a character, which I was like, wow. My blogger dog Jun Lee mentioned it in his podcast, and my friend, when he bought the game, it was the first thing he mentioned too. And it definitely is something that catches you immediately. It's like, rah, Christopher Lee. And when you finally see the character that he voices, it's like no one else could have done that character except Christopher Lee. He resembles him slightly as well, but the voice acting is brilliant. And that's that.
Sure.
And I think Kingdom Hearts 2 isn't a brilliant game, but there are many really cool aspects to it. I mean, they do a good job of immersing you in the world, and the plot is good. It makes sense. I heard that they convolute the plot. I heard elsewhere that they just kept convoluting the plot, and I didn't find that. I thought that they definitely explained everything, and they explained it well. The only problem with the plot is the pacing. It's kind of like you get 3 points in the game where you get major pools of development, and then in between it's just nothing. You get lots of development at the beginning, lots of development in the middle, lots of development at the end, and then nothing in between that. It's kind of like Sora tries to make out like he's on this mission to find his friends. Then you go to a Disney World. Oh, I've lost something. Can you help me find it? Yeah, sure. And it's like, you know, how is this relevant to your quest? I thought you're supposed to be looking for your friends, mate. And I think the one thing about Kingdom Hearts 2 that really bogs it down is there's this real sense of deja vu. I was going to play a clip of the song, but I won't. It's really more of the same. It's kind of like, and it's not only a matter of it's lots of stuff that was in Kingdom Hearts 1, but a lot of stuff taken directly from other Final Fantasy games in general. Not only did they rip the characters off, but a lot of the themes and stuff too. Like the last world I mentioned before was called The World That Never Was. And this seems to be a common theme in Square Enix games, where the last world is set in some form of limbo. They did it in Final Fantasy VII, where you went down into the life stream, which is the source of all life. That was a bit of a limbo. Final Fantasy IX, they did it when you went to Memoria, which is a place constructed of the memories of people, past and present, limbo. Final Fantasy X, you go inside a being named as Sin, not much in there, Limbo. Final Fantasy X-2, you go inside a weapon called Vegnagun, Limbo. Kingdom Hearts 1, The End of the World, Limbo. Kingdom Hearts 2, The World That Never Was, Limbo. It's just like, it's deja vu. And even the last boss, one of the forms of the last boss, looks like Necron from Final Fantasy 9. It's silly. And even though the last boss in this game is cool, they always come up with weird, odd last bosses. Like, the last boss in the first game looked like a stripper. And then the last boss in Kingdom Hearts 2 looks like a pimp. So it's kind of like, what's going on? You know, a stripper for a last boss in the first game and a pimp in the second one. The last boss, or the final last boss, he looks like a pimp. A pimp. The last boss in Kingdom Hearts 2 is a pimp. I think that the Kingdom Hearts 2, they fixed many problems, but the other problems also arose. I think the one thing about Kingdom Hearts 2 I like, the character of Riku comes off a lot better in this game than he did in the first. Because in the first, I mean, Sora keeps talking about Riku throughout the game, like, he's my best friend in the whole world, da-da-da-da-da. And I was thinking to myself, I really never saw any showcase of their friendship before. Kingdom Hearts 1, it seemed like there was this rivalry between the two of them and a major lack of friendship. I don't know how it goes down in Chain of Memories, haven't played the game, don't care. And Kingdom Hearts 2, I don't know how to say this without ruining it, but when Riku does eventually come into the story, they actually work the friendship between Sora and Riku, and they actually do seem like best friends in this game, whereas they didn't before. So that was cool. And they don't really work. I thought there'd be a love interest between Sora and Kairi, but that doesn't really materialise. It's a very much friendship basis. I guess when they hit legal ages, we'll begin to see some development of relations. Tetsuya Nomura said that Kingdom Hearts would finish when Sora turns 18. So whether that's in Kingdom Hearts 3 or 4, I don't know. But I guess when they're older and of age, we'll see some relations going down. And I have to say, even though Kairi's a video game character, I'm not going to say I'm not going to say what I was going to say. To my fellas out there who have played Kingdom Hearts 2 and seen Kairi, but but overall, Kingdom Hearts 2 is a really good game, but I felt that rather than just tagging lots of extra stuff on there, they should have actually trimmed it right down and refined it. And as I said, there is going to be a Kingdom Hearts 3, possibly number 4. They could have actually ended Kingdom Hearts at the first game. They could have ended it again at the second game. Talking of ending, Jun-Li, Kingdom Hearts 2 does not have the best ending at all. I think the ending to Kingdom Hearts 2 I thought was kind of crap. The animation looked good, but it was crap. Kingdom Hearts 1 had a much better ending because it ended different. I was like, you think everything's tied up in a nice little bow. And then it's like all these characters who have been looking for each other for so long find one another, and then they all have to separate again. And they have no choice. And so all of them have to make a sacrifice. And I thought that was such a brilliant way to end the game. And then Kairi left on the island on her own. I mean, the tears are rolling down my face. As soon as I heard the tears started rolling, I was like, she all alone. She ain't got nobody. I was breaking down for her. Whereas Kingdom Hearts 2, the ending's just, well, it's nothing special. The music goes really well with it, but it's just nothing special. Jun-Li, if you think that's the best ending you've seen in the game, then you need to play Final Fantasy VIII. Trust me, that ending was that is the best ending I've seen in the game ever. And to my people out there that have played Final Fantasy VIII and seen that ending, you know what I'm saying, that ending was badass. I loved it. Oh good. Jun-Li, if you haven't played that game, it's worth playing through. I mean, it'd be cheap as dirt now, and you've got a PS2, so what's stopping you? If you can't be bothered to play through that game, try and YouTube it. I might actually put the link up on my blog if I can find it, but that ending was epic. And the main theme of that ending is actually similar to Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. No, it's similar to Kingdom Hearts 2. I don't want to explain how it's similar because that would ruin the game. But Final Fantasy 8 has the best ending. Kingdom Hearts 2 can't hold a candle to that ending. Sorry, Jun Lee, but yeah. I think one thing that definitely has to be mentioned about Kingdom Hearts 2 is that the game is pretty easy. I mean, as soon as you select start game, if you just keep pressing the X button and press triangle every other time, you'll end up at the last boss. Keep pressing X and triangle together and you complete the game. No, it's not that bad, but the difficulty of the game is pretty easy. I think it took me around 40 or so hours to complete the game, and I don't think I easily could have done it in less, because the one thing, whenever I play the game, I'd usually play it for 5 or 10 minutes and then I'd pause it and go off and eat dinner or go to the shop or just have it on pause for hours on end and just completely neglect it. I love to waste electricity, so I think probably 32 hour game. You can really breeze through it, and the boss battles aren't that difficult. The only boss that I died on and the boss that gave me hassle was, there's this guy you fight at Beast's Castle and he controls wind and he's got these lances that kind of spin around. He was a pretty difficult boss. I fought in the first time, got my ass kicked, and I thought, I'm not even going to fight him again. So I went off and did some of the other worlds, leveled up, went back, kicked his ass. It's because he's one boss in the game where it's hard. It's difficult finding a window when you can attack him, and sometimes you have to go on kamikaze and just risk taking a hit just so you can get a combo in there. And I'm not sure if it only happens in this boss battle or if it was just me, but the first time I fought him, when I died, I could control Mickey Mouse. You control Mickey Mouse and you can fight him, and then you bring Sora back to life. And that happened a lot the first time I fought him. If it happened to anyone else when they play Kingdom Hearts 2, please let me know. I'm wondering if it was just me or if it's that only boss battle that it happens in. But yeah, you get to control Mickey Mouse, which is cool. But that was the only boss in the game that gave me aggro. Every other boss I thought was pretty easy. But yeah, the game is very, very easy. Easier than the first game, I'd say. Because you really do rush through it. Because you level up, so you learn some powerful attacks very quickly. And before you know it, you're chaining together like 10 plus hit combos and killing enemies in a combo. The one thing about Kingdom Hearts 2 is over very quickly because the game is so damn easy. So, yeah. But overall, Kingdom Hearts 2 is a good game, but I just felt they could have trimmed the fat and refined it into a really good game. Less is more. And I think that's definitely something that Square Enix should consider for Kingdom Hearts 3, which is going to be a predictable game, but there you go. So, if I was to score Kingdom Hearts 2 out of 10, I would give it 7. 7. Because it was enjoyable, but it's one of those games where I'm not going to go back to that now. I'll probably go back to it to fight Sephiroth because I haven't fought him yet. But, yeah. Seeing as my skit was related to Square Enix game, and seeing as my review, if you can call it that, was based on a Square Enix game. I thought, what the heck? Might as well slag off Square Enix for the whole podcast. But I mean, when I sit and think about Square Enix, it's like, I don't know, it's kind of, the first Square game that I played was Final Fantasy VII. And when I played that game, I thought to myself, if these are the kind of games this company has been putting out, then I missed out during the SNES era. I was thinking, oh god, what about games like Final Fantasy VI and Bahamut Lagoon, which I heard of but never came out in the UK, and Secret of Mana, Secret of Evermore. And I was kind of thinking, wow. And then from Final Fantasy VII, I kind of followed their games, or the Final Fantasy series at least, and recently Kingdom Hearts. But their games just seem to get worse. And the one thing that really annoys me about Square Enix at the moment is they really seem to be milking the success of Final Fantasy VII. Now, this is one of my favourite Final Fantasy games, and one of my... If I were to have like a top 10 list of my favourite games, Final Fantasy VII would be in that list. I'm not sure in which rank or which position, but it would definitely be in my top 10. And they are just milking the game to death with Crisis Core for the PSP. I think it's PSP, which is like a Final Fantasy VII spin-off, like anybody cares. And then you've got some Final Fantasy VII game for a mobile phone, like anybody cares. Then they came up with Advent Children, like anybody cared. Film was so shit. I hated that film. Terrible. And a couple nights ago, I found out that Tetsuya Nomura actually directed it. Yeah, I think someone needs to make that guy step down. But they just keep milking. It's like Square Enix keep milking the success of their previous games. And it's like, are they that... Do they have this inability to come up with a new idea and a new cast of characters that they have to keep milking the success of a previous game? And what they're doing is they're ruining Final Fantasy VII. That's what they're doing. And they're kind of breaking their own conventions. I think the cool thing about Final Fantasy VII is that, well, what used to be a cool thing about Final Fantasy VII was that every game was set in its own world. They were more spiritual sequels because they had the same... Each game had the same theme, which was like a love interest and some powerful being that's trying to destroy the world or whatnot. And the game always centred around the emotions of the characters. The gameplay mechanics were the same. The battle systems were similar across each game. You had certain spells and attacks and characters that would thread through every game. Even just a character's name, Cid, was a popular one that popped up in quite a few Final Fantasy games. But the characters and the worlds were different. And it was kind of cool because you'd play through a game and you'd live through this adventure and it would conclude and then you'd move on. And they've kind of broken that because with Final Fantasy VII, they've got all these spin-offs and Advent Children is a direct sequel to Final Fantasy VII and an awful one at that. And then it's the same with Final Fantasy X too, which was a continuation of Final Fantasy X. And as much as I liked Final Fantasy X-2, it contradicted a lot of what happened in number 10. And then they've done it with Final Fantasy XII already, with Revenant Wings, which is a sequel or a spin-off to Final Fantasy XII. And it's becoming this trend. And then with Final Fantasy XIII, there's, what's it called? Fabula Nova Crystallis? I think that's what it's called. Which is that you've got Final Fantasy XIII and it's going to have three separate games. So you're going to have the main Final Fantasy XIII game, which is the one that was shown at E3 with that girl flying all around the place. Look a lot like Star Wars Episode 3, 2, 1, whatever. And then you've got Final Fantasy Versus XIII, which is the game that Tetsuya Nomura is going to be directing. And it's going to play similar to Kingdom Hearts. It probably is just going to be Kingdom Hearts with different characters in it, really. And then you've got a mobile phone game called Final Fantasy XIII Agito, something like that. It's Latin, I think, for movement or fierce movement, something like that. And already they're milking Final Fantasy XIII. And this is the problem with Square Enix, is that they're kind of just... They've gone from being a studio who put out quality games to this kind of factory. If I was going to compare Square Enix to a pop star, I'd compare them to Britney Spears back in the day when she just used to plug out single after album with minor differences between each one. And that's what Square Enix are becoming. They're becoming like that. They're becoming like a factory production line. And they're ruining some of their IPs. Final Fantasy is... Really, it's become a shadow of its former self. It's not the brilliant game that I loved back when I fell in love with it at number 7. It's kind of just this... It's just this game that kind of gets put out every couple of years. And the differences between each game are marginal at best. I can't really comment on Final Fantasy XII yet because I haven't played it. Not much has been disclosed on that game. I think it comes out in America at the end of this month. I think it's probably next week it comes out, actually. God, I forgot it's the end of October already. But when it comes out in America, there'll be reviews on it because it's an English language version. And I can see what the deal is with that game, because it looks like it's a bit of a departure from previous Final Fantasies. But Square Enix really needs to get their shit together, because they're just ruining Final Fantasy. And I think the one thing about Square Enix is that they're just in love with money. I mean, I know every video games company is a business first and foremost. That's what we have to remember. Even though every developer will kind of make out they've got our interests at heart, they are businesses. They thrive on money. So obviously, they're going to do what it takes and put out the right games that will generate a healthy revenue for them. And Square Enix are definitely doing that with Final Fantasy, and they're going to do it with Kingdom Hearts. I can see Kingdom Hearts going right up to number 4. God knows how they're going to do it. They're going to have to convolute the plot something chronic, but I can see them doing it. And they are doing it with Final Fantasy. And the thing is with Square Enix is they know they're not stupid. It doesn't matter how terrible the game is, how brilliant the game is. If it's got Final Fantasy plastered all over it, it will sell. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles on the GameCube was a blatant sign of that. That game wasn't a Final Fantasy game in the way that we all knew. It was just this game with... Do you know what it reminded me of? It had a lot more in common more with Secret of Mana than it did Final Fantasy. But Secret of Mana isn't as well known outside of Japan as Final Fantasy. So what did Square Enix do? Threw Final Fantasy in the title, Crystal Chronicles. And because of that, it sold quite well on the GameCube. I know in the UK it was in the games charts at number 1 for quite a few weeks. And had they called it Secret of Mana, Crystal Chronicles, it wouldn't have sold. Had they have called it Crystal Chronicles on its own, it wouldn't have sold. But you plaster Final Fantasy on there and, well, hey, it sells millions of copies. And that's what Square Enix do. They pimp their titles. That is what they do. They pimp their titles. It wouldn't surprise me if Tetsuya Nomura walked around Square Enix HQ with a fur coat and a bowl hat and gold teeth, you know, because he's just pimping Final Fantasy to death. And even games like Kingdom Hearts, it's like they can't let the game stand up on its own with an original cast alongside Disney characters. They've got to throw in all of these Final Fantasy characters just to rope people in. It's a smart marketing ploy, because it means that people who are into Final Fantasy will buy the game, even if they're not Disney fans. But they're just pimping the characters. Like, why do it? It's terrible. Terrible. And it hurts, because I love Final Fantasy and I've got to watch as Square Enix butcher my characters. It's not nice. It really isn't nice. And Square Enix need to fix up. They really need to fix up. But as long as they keep putting out games and they keep generating lots and lots of money, they're not going to stop. They won't stop. They'll just keep hanging around. Do you know who Square Enix remind me a little of? P. Diddy. P. Diddy has garnered himself and stayed in the limelight through milking the career of Notorious B.I.G., Biggie Smalls. That's what Square Enix are like. They're completely hanging all of their games and their success on Final Fantasy VII. And on Final Fantasy in general, I mean, I heard somewhere that Square were going bust. And I think Square were near enough bankrupt. And they decided to put out Final Fantasy as their last ever game. Hence the title, Final Fantasy. And then it ended up being a big success, earned them a lot of money. And then because of that, they never had to close their studios. And then they continued putting the games out. The difference is, I'm sure the games are better then than they were now, because now the games are just like, they look great, have great soundtracks. Well, Final Fantasy X soundtrack was shit, but that's what they do. They put out games with good graphics, alright soundtracks, and not much else. And I just wish Square Enix would come fresh for once, because I do love Final Fantasy, but I just wish that they'd tell a story which is as involving and as emotional as Final Fantasy VII. Square Enix haven't developed a game that has managed to move me, and I'm pretty sure some of you gamers out there, the way that Final Fantasy VII did. Even Final Fantasy VI. God, how could I have not mentioned that game? I haven't completed it yet. I'm kind of just over halfway through it, but that game has moments in it which are quite touching. And that is also a brilliant game, which Square Enix haven't been able to match. Along with number 7. I mean, I remember when I played Final Fantasy 7 and I felt so emotional. I mean, there was one particular point in that game, I'm not going to lie, that broke my heart and many other people out there too. I've still got my PS1 memory card with the save right before the moment. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but here's a little reminder of that moment that broke my heart in Final Fantasy 7.
Cloud, where air is that?
Nigga, I don't know.
You white, I'm black, you ain't allowed to say nigga, dog, that's racist.
Nigga, shut up and help me live for Eris.
Nigga, she down there.
Eris, girl, what you doing?
She look like she praying, or something.
Eris, look above you, girl, I'm praying, what are you shouting for? What's wrong with you? I'm trying to save the world.
No, you ain't.
Ah! Eris!
Damn, ain't no Phoenix down, go fix that.
But I just wish that they tell a story which is as involving and as emotional as Final Fantasy VII, and that they had a soundtrack which moved you and was as memorable as Final Fantasy VII, and it seems they can't recreate that. So instead, they just pimp the characters to death. And it's kind of like, it's almost as though you never left the Final Fantasy VII universe, because you see it crop up so many times. And as I said before, whenever Square Enix revisit a Final Fantasy game, they contradict it. Look at Advent Children. That film was terrible. Shit film. It contradicted everything that happened in Final Fantasy VII. I killed Sephiroth. Why is he back? The only good thing about Advent Children is that fight with Tifa in the church. That shit's legendary. And the music as well. Brilliant piece of cinematography, is that a word? I think it is. If not, it is now. But that fight scene was bad. I can't rate it highly enough. Brilliant. Tifa was one of my favourite characters in Final Fantasy VII, because she was a badass. You know, she'd take situations head on. She'd stare death in the face. And she also fought with her fists rather than a whip or a gun or something like that, which I thought was really cool. She'd kick the shit out of people. So to see her throw down in this fight scene, I was like, yeah. And then she gets a little electric shock in her back and the whole fight's over. And it's like, what the hell? I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there watching in shock that Tifa, she kicks this guy into the wall, punches him in the face, gives him somersault kicks. She throws him up in the air, jumps on him, stamps him into the floor. She drags him by his head, scrapes his face along the floor, jumps in the air, throws him into a church pew. She really does, I was going to swear, she really messes this guy up. She beats him up. She beats him up in a fashion. And he gets a couple of hits in too, but Tifa rules the fight. I mean, there's one scene where he grabs her by a leg and swings her around and he knocks her head against church pews. Tifa does get a bit of a... She does get a taste in a couple of bits. But overall, Tifa rules. It's like she's invincible. And then it's like she's beating this guy up. And then he just teleports behind her, gives her a little punch in the back. And it's like, ah! And she flies 10 feet across the church and slides through the flowers. And the whole fight's finished. And it's like... I was just sitting there watching like... Okay, this does not make sense. It really doesn't make sense. And that's Square Enix all over. They don't make sense. Tetsuya Nomura has got too much power. He needs to step down. This is another plea. I made a plea before to all my UK people not to buy PlayStation 3. I'm making another plea. The next game that Tetsuya Nomura puts out, don't buy it. Don't buy it. He needs to step down and stick to drawing characters. He should not be directing CGI films and helming Final Fantasy projects. Let him have Kingdom Hearts, you know, because he did good with that. But no, he needs to just sit at his desk and draw. That's what he needs to do. They need me at Square Enix. I changed some things around there, I'll tell you that now. Final Fantasy games will have to be the shit before I release them. Oh my god, my games would be epic. I'd make you cry. Oh good. And I'd have Hikaru Utada sing the most beautiful theme song that I have you in tears. And that's just the intro. I'll have you breaking down the intro. And by the time you complete the game, you'll be a wreck. You'll be a wreck. I'll make you question life. I'll make you question everything. Oh, God. Square Enix need me. They need me. That's what they need. Oh, God. But, yeah. Basically, I went off on one. But Tetsuya Nomura needs to sit down. He needs to sit at his desk and just draw pictures and shut up. Helming Final Fantasy projects like he means some. But Square, as long as Square Enix keep putting out, I mean, the thing is about Square Enix, they realise the markability, is that a word? If not, then that's another one I've just made up. The profitability, that's the word. Square Enix have seen the profitability of Final Fantasy. Not only do they put out games and spin-offs, and I think the spin-offs more than anything is like a stopgap. Revenant Wings is like a stopgap for DS owners until 13 comes out on the PS. That's what they do. They think they're smart, but I can see through it. And Final Fantasy is definitely a profitable IP. I mean, not only do the games sell millions of copies, but they sell through music as well. Final Fantasy soundtracks actually get released on CD, as do Kingdom Hearts soundtracks. And I think a couple of Final Fantasy soundtracks are actually on iTunes now. And not just iTunes Japan, but iTunes UK, iTunes worldwide, pretty much. And they sell really well. And you've even got concerts, tribute concerts to pieces of music from Final Fantasy. And these concerts sell out. They really do. There's a band called the Black Mages, who make a living pretty much of playing Final Fantasy songs at concert, sell-out concerts. So Square Enix do generate a lot of money, and they attract a wide audience. Like, I think with Final Fantasy X, I can't remember, I think it was 10, they had this really big Japanese actor, and he was in the advert to Final Fantasy X as Tidus. He is big in Japan. The girls love him. And he was in the advert to Final Fantasy X in Japan. And because of that, no doubt, girls probably were like, "Ooh, Kakuri desne!" And they probably went out and bought Final Fantasy X just because this guy was in the advert. He's not in the game. He doesn't even voice characters in the game. But he's in the advert. So girls are going to go and buy it because of that. And because also he looked a lot like the guy in the game, in the advert. He had his hair kind of done the same, and he does look a bit like him. So there's that. And then also with Final Fantasy X-2, they had a big name attached to it, Koda Kumi, Kumi Koda. I'm not sure, I think Koda Kumi, yeah, that's her name. I'm trying to think what's her first name and what's her last name, Koda Kumi. And she's a big J-pop star, not as big as Hikaru Utada, but she's big. She sung the theme song to Final Fantasy X-2, Real Emotion. And I think she actually, I think in the intro they motion captured her, so that's actually her dancing in the intro as well. So they kind of had the J-pop crowd even looking into this game, like, oh. And girls again who like Koda Kumi probably went out and bought the game. And then also with Kingdom Hearts 2 with Hikaru Utada, the biggest Japanese pop star in Japan, broken records, huge. And she's done the theme tune to Kingdom Hearts 1, Kingdom Hearts 2. It's more than likely she's going to do it to Kingdom Hearts 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 as well. Just because when you think of Kingdom Hearts and the music, you think of Hikaru Utada. So that Square Enix, they're smart with it to a certain... And I have to give them that. They are really smart with it because they're kind of... They've really mastered the art of synergy and cross-medias. They've got that on lock. And that's why... It's not going to stop. But I think there will come a time where they will release a game, it will get slated by reviewers, no one will buy it, and then they'll have to sit and go back to the drawing board. I think every company goes through that, and every franchise goes through that. Nintendo went through it with Zelda. The Wind Waker didn't get the response Nintendo had hoped for, so they really had to pull the stops out with Twilight Princess. And from the looks of it, I think they've got it. They've got it back. And Capcom, Resident Evil, a lot of people are like, this game is stale, the controls are shit, it's not scary anymore. They went back to the drawing board. Resident Evil 4, blam, they got it back. And it happens with every company, even with Konami with Metal Gear Solid. Metal Gear Solid 2 sold really well, but I think out of number 1, 2 and 3, 2 was the one that definitely got slated. I hated number 2. I really hated that game. I didn't think it was good at all. It was just very predictable, more of the same, and it was crap. So they kind of had to go back to the drawing board and think, alright, let's come back with Metal Gear Solid 3. Even though Metal Gear Solid 3 got a bit of a lukewarm response, I personally think that game is a brilliant game. A lot of my friends didn't... I didn't buy it. My friend lent it to me. He hadn't even completed it. He hadn't even played it. He just said, I've read this and I can't be bothered to play it. I don't think it's that good. He lent it to me. I played the shit out of it. Completed it in a couple of days. Brilliant game. Much, much better than Metal Gear Solid 2. And it comes at a different angle from Metal Gear Solid 1. And Metal Gear Solid 3 was a brilliant game. So I think that every developer goes through that moment where they have a franchise or one of their IPs get slated and they have to go back to the drawing board. And it will happen to Square Enix at some point. Whether it's with Final Fantasy or Kingdom Hearts, they will put out a game that people will hate and they will diss. And they have to go back to the drawing board. And it's a shame because Square Enix have got some really cool franchises out there that they just don't follow up on. Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross. I know it's a series that people would like to see revisited, but they just haven't. Parasite Eve was another franchise I really liked. I played Parasite Eve 1. It never came out in the UK, but it came out in the US, and my friend had that on import. I loved that game. And then Parasite Eve 2 actually got a UK release, and I really liked that because it was different for Square Enix. It was kind of like Resident Evil fused with elements of Final Fantasy, and it worked really well. But, you know, they put out really good games and they don't follow them up, which can either be a good thing or a bad thing. Sometimes when you create something so wonderful, it's best to leave it alone. But then sometimes it's a part of you that's like, I'd love to see a continuation of it. As long as people keep buying their games, they're going to keep churning these games out like a production factory. For every 2.5 million people out there that hate Final Fantasy, there's another 4 million that love it and will buy it. So I think it's going to take a real shit game for Square Enix to suffer a backlash. But I think it's... I'm not trying to be horrible, but I think that's what Square Enix need. They need a game to bomb commercially for them to kind of think, oh, okay, how can we make this right? And that's me hating on Square Enix. Fix up, look sharp. That was that on Square Enix, how they need to fix up and look sharp. And got a message from our sponsors. Commercial break. I'll be right back after this.
Are you sick of being played for a fool?
Yeah!
Don't you wish you could just bump people off?
Yeah!
Now you can with
bumpoff.com.
All you have to do is fill in the details of the person you want bumped off, and we'll have one of our dedicated drivers
run that ass over!
I caught my girl f***ing the next door. I was like, hell no. 3 strikes, 2 got to go.
Run that ass over!
My husband was telling me he was working overtime. I got suspicious and found out that he had a child by Maybelline in the trailer across the park. I was like, nope, baby gonna have to live without daddy cause I had to
run that ass over.
Some fool got me locked up in County Jail. I phoned my mama to get bumpup.com and end that fool's life. Had to just
run that ass over.
Sick of being made a fool?
Yeah.
Then
run that ass over
at bumpup.com.
Yes, yes, bumpoff.com. Run that ass over. Brilliant service. They do take PayPal, which is really handy. So if you'd like to make use of that service, you know where to go. But yeah, really, I just want to reiterate, I'm not a Square Enix hater. I'm not a Final Fantasy hater. I'm not a Tetsuya Nomura hater. It's just Square Enix need to fix up. I wouldn't have been ranting on about them if I didn't care somewhat. It's just, it would be a shame. I think it's a shame because they're one of the few developers out there who actually can tell a really good story, but it's just sometimes it's hard to I'll sit and play some of Square Enix's games, and I'm like, these are the guys that did Final Fantasy 6 and 7. Are you sure? You kind of have to question it, because some of the games they put out have been pretty awful. But who knows? And the PS3 doesn't exactly help, because all it means is that the graphics are going to get better. That's all that really does get better, is kind of the cosmetic aspects of the game, and not what really matters, which is the story. So it'll be interesting to see how Square Enix come on the PS3, but I guess only time will tell. And seeing how long they take to put games out, we probably won't know for a good couple of years, especially not in the UK anyway. But just sitting here. I'm actually supposed to be at uni, but I thought, oh, I'll go in late. Terrible, I know, but the lecturer that I had, or actually it was a seminar, it was supposed to be a seminar, but I was falling asleep. The guy, because what it is for this particular seminar, we have different guest speakers come in, and last week and also this week, we got this dude who, I'm not sure where he's from, he's got this weird accent, but what he actually has to say is really interesting. You do learn some stuff, but it's the delivery. He kind of talks very deadpan, and there's no charisma, and he's kind of just like a robot. And it's a shame, because like I said, what he has to say is really interesting. He knows his stuff, but it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I think that the lesson would be so much better if we had someone with a bit more charisma, who spoke with some life in their voice. He's just so deadpan. And I was thinking to myself, oh my God, I left my DS at home, so I couldn't even sit and play it. And I woke up this morning and I thought, I'll just go in late. Yeah, I'll just go in late. I've seen the slides and I know what he's going to talk about, so it's not like I'm missing out on anything crucial that's going to affect my grade. So I won't make a habit of it, but I just thought, oh God, I'm tired enough as it is. I don't want to be falling asleep in this seminar too, so I thought I'd go in late. So yeah, not much else to say. I apologize again for this coming out late. Why am I even apologizing? You can wait. Yeah, wait. But as I said at the start, uni crap timetable equals longer time between each podcast. So hopefully I'll try and drop number, what number will I be on, number 5 by mid-November. And also, it would be cool to hear from some of you. It'd be cool to know that there are actually people listening to this. I have no way of knowing how many people listen to this. I can't get in touch with all of you, but you can get in touch with me at i_am_random_j, all lowercase. So that's iamrandomj with underscores instead of spaces at yahoo.com. And you can also check out my blog at i-am-random-j.blogspot.com. I hope I've got that right. Let me double check. And you can leave comments on there, and there's like a little kind of chat box on the right hand side if you want to send a quick message. You do not have to sign up with Blogger to leave a comment on the blog. I just want a couple of people that I know, they've kind of got a Blogger account just to drop a comment, and I'm like, you didn't have to do that. But yeah, i-am-random-j.blogspot.com, that's my blog. And I've also got another blog for my Random Rambles, which is therandomramblesofj.blogspot.com. How easy is that? therandomramblesofj.blogspot.com. I don't post anything on this blog other than the Random Rambles, the podcasts. But still, it'd be cool if you want to leave a comment on here, you can. As I said, it'd be cool to know what you think, your views, if there's any particular subject you'd like me to talk about. If you want to send me stuff, say hello. If you email me, I will reply, because I'm sad like that. Actually, replying to emails isn't sad. It's dedicated. It's a good thing. Yes, that means I'm a good person. Email me, you get emails back. And that's it. So, oh, I should also mention my Random Rambles, my podcasts, is now on iTunes. Yes, my stuff is now on iTunes. It's a bit of a weird thing, because unless you type exactly the Random Rambles of Jay, you're not really gonna come across it by accident. So it'll be interesting to see who actually just does stumble across it by complete accident, and how many people decide to actually click on it, listen to it, and actually subscribe to it. But I'm on iTunes now. And if you've got iTunes, open it up, take a look, feel free to leave a comment or leave a review. Doing these podcasts is really cool, because I had an email from a guy who does a podcast with his wife called Total Podcastrophy, which is really funny and really silly. Just really funny and really silly, and it's cool to hear another UK voice, and he said the same thing about mine, and that was cool. And he was born in 1964. He's old enough to be my dad, and he's married and he's got a son who's into Final Fantasy, and it was really cool for him to kind of say, oh, I like your podcast, and it was really cool for me. And I was like, oh, because I didn't think and I didn't expect this podcast to reach out to such a wide demographic. And I recently checked today, I've got another fan who is, I think this guy's around the same age as well. No, but he's a professor and he's married. So, and that again is really cool. So thank you, and hopefully I'll get more fans. And I've also got to give a big shout out to my blogger dog, my blogger buddy, Jun Lee, aka John, aka Red Alert, who I know for sure has been tuning in to all of my Random Rambles and my podcasts. And he is like, it's almost like primarily it's him I do these for, because he's the one person that I know definitely listens to these, and I always listen to his. So I gave a shout out to two of my newer fans that I know of, so I've obviously got to give a shout out to my blogger dog, my blogger buddy, my blogger boy, Jun Lee over at Jun Lee's Corner. That's some fan service there for him. Jun Lee's Corner. Listening to me hopping on the mic for this podcast for the fourth time. The fourth time. Don't ever say I don't do stuff for my fans and people that check my stuff out. That was fan service right there. Jun Lee, hope you appreciated that. But yeah, please, if you're listening to this or you're interested in this, or there's something you want to tell me, something you want to email me, you've got my address, you know, my blog address, please just drop a comment, even if it's just hello. It'd be cool to know how many people actually do listen to this and what you think. And yeah, so yeah, as you noticed, if you've listened to the past few Random Rambles with Jay, you'll know that I'm actually calling these podcasts now. Just because I didn't really want to call them podcasts before, because I thought, I don't want to upset anyone who actually thinks these are complete crap. But I'm like, you know, I'm just going to call these podcasts, because that's what they are. And I am somewhat proud of these. So I'm a podcaster now. And it's weird to think that actually in 3 weeks, or just over 3 weeks, the PS3 and the Wii will be out. So those of you in the US, got some good times ahead. Some good times. I feel for your bank balances though, especially if you're planning to get a Wii and a PS3. And no doubt you're going to want a couple of games and then memory cards as well. We're talking like £1,000 or like over $1,000. worth of hardware and software you're going to be having to pick up at launch. So it's going to be, I don't think a lot of people are going to get both at the same time, so it's going to be interesting to see what gamers gravitate towards, whether it's the PS3 or the Wii. But my blogger dog Jun Lee, he puts out podcasts too over at junlee'scorner.blogspot.com, and no doubt when he gets his Wii, he's going to be putting out another podcast. But all my UK peoples out there, please do check that out, because as I said, he lives in the US. He will be getting the Wii at launch, hopefully, because he hasn't pre-ordered it yet. But if you want a normal gamer's view on the Wii, be sure to check that out. I'm really looking forward to that, actually. I'm wondering what games he's going to get with it. But on that note, I will bid you farewell. And until next time, take care. See ya. Goodbye.
Square Enix.